Welcome, inmates and asylumites, to Heroes Asylum issue 125.
Stay alive in 125.
Yeah, still alive and kicking. So, welcome, guys, to October, the favorite month of Kane and I.
Yes.
If anybody is familiar with our other show that we do, I've been advertising it on our Facebook page, Midnight Movies. We are doing our Halloween slash horror fest that we do every year. And yeah, we've been just having a blast with that, and a lot more to come this month. But yeah, this week we will be dropping Dracula 2000. We did Monster Squad the week before, and just dig into our archives too, man. There's so many. Last year we had some great ones, and then of course the year before that we had some pretty fun ones as well. But yeah, looking forward to it. Got some guests this year, which is awesome. It's just not Kane and I talking to each other like we normally do.
Yeah, thank God we actually got some friends.
It proves that we have friends.
We do have friends out there. Thanks, Marie, for joining us last night. It was a blast, and I should have my buddy from SoCal, California, Brian, join us this week, I believe, for one of our mystery shows.
Yeah, we haven't talked about when that show's going to come out. I guess that'll just be a kind of like a drop somewhere whenever you say, hey, drop it.
It'd be like, boop, there we go.
Yeah, something fun, something different, and that's what we like to do. So how have you been, man? I know it's been a couple of weeks, and I know, yes, guys, I did say we were going to do a show last week, and I do apologize. I was not feeling good, and then I had internet issues, and I was like, you know what? Just too many things are saying not to do a show tonight. So I called an audible and said we're not going to do it, but we are starting up again with our weekly show. And I want to say, reach out to you guys that are listening right now. Thank you, guys, for listening. Our listeners have gone up quite a bit. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. If you guys jump onto our Facebook page, you guys can see our community there. I don't think that they cross streams because I know a lot of our Facebook community doesn't listen to us. But if you guys are from our Facebook community, you are finding us now because we have just now started posting all of our shows on Facebook.
Yeah, recently. That's a cool thing. I saw that thing actually when the Midnight Movies are posting up there and some of the episodes. Like, oh, yeah, it's going to make it really quick. Now you guys have no excuse not to listen. Because I know there's a lot of people out there, oh, I never listened to your show. Like, dude, we've been on for 3.5 years. You really don't know? You know?
Again, one of my closest friends, we were going for, I think, 8 months, and she didn't know about it. And I was like, hey, we do a podcast. She does like, you do a what? I'm like, okay, let me show you.
Yeah, check it out, man. Archives are out there, dude.
Yeah, so we got a lot of news that dropped. Actually, last week was like crazy busy. As trailers dropping, a show ending. I mean, just so many great things. And of course, this Saturday, we've got the DC fandom coming up, which I'm super excited about. I know we got a little tease for some things coming. I know they sent out a trailer for like what interviews were going to be going on. I know they have a Zack Snyder one. They've got two Aquaman panels, which I thought was really cool. A Titans panel, I think, a Doom Patrol panel, which, I mean, if you guys aren't watching Titans and Doom Patrol, you're just doing yourself a disservice, really.
Wear butts. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah, wear butts. Kane discovered wear butts.
Oh, boy, did I. What a shocking moment that
I
was.
Started laughing about that because years and years ago, actually, Marie, our friend that jumps on with us for Midnight Movie next week, she and I and her boyfriend used to be roommates. And if you guys would know her ex-boyfriend, he was on some of our Star Wars watch along, Steve-O. And she was a big fan, huge fan of True Blood. Yeah. And Steve was not a fan of True Blood, and he made jokes about, you know, because there were werewolves and things like that, and I think there was another were type creature in True Blood, and he started making fun of like where are there going to be were bears and all sorts of different things, and when the were butt showed up, I was like, oh,
nice.
I wish Steve was a fan of Doom Patrol. He would love that.
You would have just loved that one episode. I was dying when I actually saw I'm not going to spoil it, but there's a scene in Doom Patrol episode, season 3, episode, I believe it's 2, actually episode 5. Yeah, it's 5. So anyway, they're confronted in a barn and met by a particular character, and something happens, and then these werebutts. And if you can't put 2 and 2 together what a werebutt is, you will. You will.
Yeah, if you're not sure what a Werebud is, I guess it's something we didn't get a chance to talk about because I did go see it last week. Venom 2, There Will Be Carnage. What'd you think?
Like I said, I think I said it before, not actually a review on the show, but I said it was actually fun. It's a fun movie. If you like the first one, you'll like the second one. If you didn't like the first one, you're not going to like this one. That's just basically it. You got to don't take it too seriously because it's not that type of movie. It's not an MCU movie. It's just a Venom movie. And just the relationship between Eddie and the symbiote is the best part of both movies to me. Part one was the best part. That's the intro. Second part, you got more of the growth of the symbiote and Eddie and their relationship together, which I think is hysterical, makes the whole movie. Woody Harrelson killed it to me as Cletus Cassidy. Like, he basically was the Cletus Cassidy that read off the page onto the screen. Like, he literally straight adaptation. I mean, the movie's not long, but it goes by fast and it's good. So, like, the pacing is very good. Even the Scream character is pretty cool as well.
Shriek was good. I got to be honest, I was really disappointed in the Carnage character.
Really?
I felt it was almost as if it was a throwaway character. Because honestly, nothing changed with them. Nothing changed between Eddie and Venom. Venom went off and had his little, you know, Jean doing whatever he wanted to do there for a little bit. But I don't think the character didn't grow for me. From the start to the end and their interaction with Carnage, that could have been anybody. And I think it was a waste of Carnage. I think Carnage should have overlapped a bigger villain, overlapping several films, or had more of an impact. They had the time. Like you said, it was a short film. They had time to do more stuff with Carnage, and I think they rushed Carnage, and I just really wasn't a fan. I was really disappointed in it. And I know that's probably a really unpopular opinion about it, but other than that, I thought it was a fun movie. I was one that hated, or not didn't hate, I was not looking forward to seeing Venom, and I had to get over myself when I did watch it, because when I walked out, I was like, all right, that's not what I wanted. But when I really sat down and, like, dissected, I was like, okay, no, that is Venom. I talked to my boss about it. I was like, that's when I saw Venom. It's one of those curses, and it used to be the same curse I would have as a musician. Mm-hmm. I love so many different things, and I knew everything about, not knew everything about music, but I studied music and I understood the theory of it. When I sit to listen to something, I don't listen to enjoy it. You know, I lost that thing when I was, you know, going to music school. And that kind of how it is. That's how it is when I watch comic book movies. My brain starts dissecting what I know, and I just have to let myself go. And I'm jealous of people that don't have that baggage in the back of their head. They can just sit down and appreciate a great movie.
Yeah, well, any comic book movie I'm going to walk into, I'm going to have that baggage automatically. There's no way to avoid it. Like, that's why I'm also kind of like, I go in certain expectations, and if they don't meet them, which is, you know, it's my fault, I guess, you know, not that the film's fault, just my fault.
Yeah.
But I felt for what the film was, the time we had with Carnage, he was good. Like, could they have overlapped it, made it a longer story with him? Sure. Maybe he could have overlapped a couple films. You know, maybe he doesn't, you know, I don't want to spoil anything what happens to Carnage, but, you know, maybe he could have gone further. But, you know, for what it was, I thought it was pretty cool. And maybe an intro to something else in this universe as well, which I don't know, maybe.
Well, I do know somebody is casted in another Spider-Man themed movie. Mm-hmm. Not Spider-Man movie, but another Spider-Man character movie that's coming out. We've got Morbius. We've got Kraven. Tom Hardy is cast in one of those.
Hmm.
So I don't know, like, if that's going to be their way of connecting the Spider-Verse even more, which I thought was really cool. Because I dove into a little Tom Hardy research after I saw the movie, because I was like, maybe there's some things I haven't seen of Tom Hardy. I know there's other movies out there. We were talking about them last night. I think, like, Sinister was one we talked about, where he was these twins. These crime boss twins. Yeah. You know, I was like, man, I'd never heard of this. You know, there were a couple other movies I'd never heard of. I'd seen him in Bleaky Binder or Painter or whatever.
Bleaky Blinders, yeah.
Yeah, I'd seen him in that. Of course, you know, I'd seen him in Warrior, and there are other movies, but yeah, I started digging in, and then I saw in his list of movies he was in, there was, like I said, there was a movie coming out that you don't know that he's in the cast list. And I was like, oh, okay, what's this?
it's logical. It's a way to connect the dots. I mean, he is like their main player, and as far as like comic book characters right now, until they get Spider-Man back, you know, which I think, man, I don't want to spoil it, but there's something that happens that I think.
What happens in the post-credit scenes does connect, and it will connect to the next Spider-Man movie.
Which definitely is going to connect to the Spider-Man movie, which I think that's going to be the way that Tom Holland's Spider-Man goes back to Sony.
Yeah, well, it doesn't go back. He's always been with Sony. He's been on loan.
I'm just saying, like, he's not going to be in the MCU anymore after this.
Yeah, which I never thought. He should have been in for, like, two movies and gone. You know, that's really...
You got a trilogy with him. It's cool. You got him in the Avengers movies. Awesome. We got him there. Now he's going to go back to that other Sony universe as Spider-Man. Yeah.
Because I still think Spider-Man's universe and movies are not... I know they are. They fall under the MCU thing, but I don't count them as MCU movies when I do my look at it. That's Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's his own universe, and I think eventually... And now that they have more characters, they're pumping out Venom. You said Kraven. They got Morbius in the can. They got other ones in the works. Are they still doing Silver and Black? That's another one they were talking about.
That's still in the works right now. But
they're talking about, there was another one. Wasn't that the other girl that you like? That's a Spider Woman.
Silk is also on the Silk is scheduled for 2023. So yes, she's still on the charts. Yeah. So there's at least five, I think.
Yeah.
So coming they have. Out. So.
It's amazing that Sony can create a Spider-Verse on so many characters. It just shows how many characters that Spider-Man has in his universe that he basically can create his old thing at Sony. Yeah. So eventually you knew Tom was going to go back exclusively into that universe. And I think what you saw in that post-credit scene is going to signal that at the end of the next.
Yeah, but he doesn't even look like there's when I looked at the Spider list. I'm trying to bring it up now. I don't remember. I don't have it off the top of my head, but I only saw this Spider-Man coming out. And then I saw Miles, Silk, Morbius, Kraven, and that was it. I didn't see another Spider-Man movie to say with Tom Holland. You know, unless he's gonna fall into like the Tony Stark thing where he's just gonna be kind of popping in, giving his nod. Okay, yeah, you guys can keep that. You can use that name.
Maybe it'll lead up to like that. You know, that Sinister Six movie we've been hearing about for like 15 years.
That's just fan noise is all that is. We just want to see that. And honestly, I don't want to see something like that.
I don't want to see it either. I'm not.
A way of doing all of those characters justice by throwing them all together in one movie.
I have never been a fan of the Sinister Six. I always thought they were kind of stupid. That's just me.
I liked them, but I just think if you're going to throw them in a movie, you're just not going to do each character justice. And literally, you're going to have six movies to introduce them for one movie. And it just, and then when you have too many villains, think about like the perfect mix has always been two villains. You know, you look at all your great Batman movies, two villains. I think when it really got out of control was Spider-Man 3. You had three villains, and to me, that's when you lost it because they wasted the crappy version of Venom. Good version of Sandman, horrible Hobgoblin. You know, they couldn't concentrate to really focus and give a good story of one of those characters.
Now, the original script, I'm not sure if you read it, like the original version of Spider-Man 3 was going to be exclusively with the Sandman.
Perfect. And you could see that. And you could see that in the script and the story.
Yeah. That was going to be the whole movie thread. The symbiote would land in the third one, but he wouldn't get the black costume to the ending of the third one, which lead to the fourth one. Basically, they had this scene, and it was actually, I read it. It's online if you want to just Google check it. And basically, the ending of the movie would be like he beats the Sandman with the help of the symbiote suit, and he's swinging through New York City with the black symbiote suit on. But you could see as the camera pans to his little eyelid, you could see like the carnage thing in the background, like slivering in it, which I thought that was kind of cool. And
I would have gone with something like that, but I would have given him the black suit halfway through, like his suit got destroyed. Black suit came along and he started using it. No sign of Venom at all. No hint of it or anything until like the very end after he's beat Sandman and like you're saying he's swinging through and you just hear him say, "We've got stuff to do together."
And
you just see the eyes go wide and go to trailer or go to credit.
I think that's apparently what they were gonna do, and the fourth one was gonna be with Vulture or Electro or something like that, and then he would end up fighting Venom at the end of the fourth to like the fifth. It's online, guys, if you just want to check it out. It's a whole Raimi verse, what he was going to do. He was going to come back for four, but shit fell apart and they rebooted it.
Well, I mean, where it looks like we're getting a continuation, so crossing our fingers, because I mean, he's bringing a lot of folks in. I was watching a TikTok guy today, and he was talking that if you watch this universe as Spider-Man, they hint to everything throughout the movies about what's going to come up. If you look at the license plates in the second one, every before one of the creatures shows up, before the Hydro creature shows up, there's this license plate in the background that's like ASM, and then like I think 184 was when the Hydro creature first showed up in the comic books, and literally the next monster he meets was the Hydro. He's talking about in the trailer. There's a license plate in the background that tells you that it's that Hobgoblin. It's the license plate number for Hobgoblin. That's like he's saying, well, it's a hint that, you know, Hobgoblin is showing up. And I'm like, I think everybody's showing up. So
yeah, everybody's going to show up. I remember like exclusively, I think it was the No Way Home or Far From Home. They had a license plate that said AIM on it. And I was like, ooh, okay. Like, because I do remember that. I don't remember the other ones. I have to go back and look. But I do remember seeing an AIM license, and I think that's when they
some
were
like a what's it
it was
well there's heard, there's some that were ASM, and then there were some that were just SM. Mm-hmm. And they were, yeah, so that they, because you know, you did have Spider-Man comics, the Amazing Spider-Man, and so you did have different versions of them. But yeah, if you watch them back, you'll see like just beforehand there's a license plate that says that. Uh-huh. What else? DC fandom, like, yeah, we were talking about DC fandom, going off on our tangent. I did see you and I talked about this, that I've been watching Teen Titans, or not Teen Titans, Young Justice again, and I just for fun. There was no reason. I just like, I want to watch them. I haven't seen them in a while. I was feeling whelmed, so I decided to watch Titans, and I was like, man, I really, God, we haven't seen anything or heard anything, and then you posted,
yeah, I did,
like literally like 24 hours later, it's like, oh, there we are.
Yeah, like I wasn't going to say anything, but it was, I was like, well, they announced Phantoms, what, like a year ago? At the ending of season? No, it was two. Wasn't it 2 years ago?
No, almost. It's been about a year and a half. Yeah, so close. Yeah,
so almost 2 years. Like,
I think it ended January 2020.
Yeah, and the first half ended in January. Like the second half ended, I think, was in May or something. Or might have been April. Anyway, I know they had two parts, and they came back for the second part. The ending of – guys, if you haven't seen it, I don't care. Spoiler, it's been out for 2 years. The ending of the season three basically hinted at the what do they call it? The Legion. Legion. So the Legion of Superheroes. So they hinted at that. But, yeah, and now we finally got Phantoms, a little poster that came out, posted on the site. And no release date yet, but if I had a guess – I would say January.
That's what I'm thinking too, and I'm sure we're going to get more of a time frame for it.
Yeah, they're going to talk about it this weekend. They're going to talk about everything this week at fandom, which it's. I hope they keep DC fandom. Not that I hate Comic-Con, but you know, I like these exclusive online conventions. I mean, it makes me feel that I'm there. I mean, I know they're pre-produced and they've already been done, but still, I dig it. You know, yeah, all the new
gives you a little inside thing, and there's a whole bunch of like little Easter egg things that they do behind the scenes that, you know, most people wouldn't see. Mm-hmm. You know, they what was it during the Wonder Woman one last year? They, you know, they, Linda Carter popped in, you know, and of course, you know, by that point, we didn't know she was in the new movie, you know, at the end. But it was just like it was like this heartwarming moment where, you know, you got Patty, you know, talking about, well, she was the reason, you know, we all wanted to do this. She was, you know, this is the big reason, and like they surprised the rest of the cast, which I thought was so cool.
Yeah, when she showed up, that was kind of cool. Yeah, that was the Wonder Woman 84 panel. I recall that. Well.
And then I think, did you drop it or did I, about the Peacemaker trailer?
I know we talked about it last night. I think you dropped it or me. I'm not sure. It might have been both of us. I don't recall. I know I saw it first and I freaking loved it, man. It's again, something that I didn't want, didn't need.
Didn't even know I wanted it.
Didn't even know I wanted it, but now I want it. And is not John Cena, like, is he not getting better as an actor, like, especially, I think maybe it's this role. Maybe this role was built for him because he, like, I know a little bit about Peacemaker, not too much. I saw him on a couple, you know, panels here and there. Wasn't the greatest character in the world, like, just a throwaway. Basically, what they said, he's a douchey Captain America. Yeah. But the way Cena plays him is exactly like a douchey Captain America. I'm like, oh, shit, he's got the douchey car. He's got an eagle on there called Eagly. Like, come on, that's. That's
terrible. that whole scene in the diner is just, why are you in costume? This is a uniform.
you that has James Gunn written all over. Yeah, that is James with handprints here and there. And then seeing some of the behind the scenes, well, not behind the scenes footage, but some of the photos from the set. And we saw Vigilante, like straight from the comics Vigilante. I think I texted you. I was like, is that Vigilante there?
Yeah.
And you're like, yep. And I was like, yes. We're getting some stuff. So, yeah, that's coming out, I think, next year also. So it'll be fun to see that panel this weekend as well.
Yeah, that one, I'm looking forward to. Now it kind of makes sense. Like, I'm still not happy with how Waller was treated in the Suicide Squad, but it sort of makes sense why her team was
the way they were.
Yeah, it explains more why they were that, why they weren't these throwaway characters. Because, like I, you know, like we talked about, you know, in the first, you know, when we first saw the Suicide Squad, I was like, they made Waller look like a bitch, and Waller's not a bitch, and she's the devil.
Yeah, that's like, and, like the, yeah.
But that explains now, you know, explains why this team one-upped her, because now she's going to torment them by strapping them with the douchebag.
Yeah,
you know, and now that is Waller, and I hope she shows up just for a couple of scenes. I would think that would be so much fun.
I think she'll show up the first episode, but I think that'll be it. It's kind of like, do you remember like when they introduced Deep Space Nine Star Trek and Picard showed up for like the first two episodes?
Yeah. They do that for every show that has a spinoff. Yeah. I think she should be Charlie.
That'd be dope.
Have, like, all she is the voice. Yeah.
What are you doing, bastards? It's the wrong way.
She doesn't have to do anything. She just has to, you know, she can literally do it from her cell phone. Just record from wherever she's at. And make her Charlie.
What are you doing, Peacemaker? It's the wrong way. I still have that chip in your head.
And for you folks that don't know what I meant, that's a reference to Charlie's Angels.
Yes, Charlie's Angels, guys. Yeah. Charlie Led basically was never there. He was basically a speakerphone box that you could talk to. But nowadays, I guess he would be Alexa. I don't know.
Yeah, okay, basically, yeah. So what you got? I know a couple things dropped. I know you were a little excited about this week.
I am excited about the last episode of What If. I'm sure you've seen it. I've seen it. We didn't talk about it at all last night or the day before.
No, we tried to avoid that, yeah.
Tried to avoid that, and that's when you said don't talk about it, so I didn't. So that's why I'm going to bring it up here. So I'm going to ask you first, because you always ask me, what'd you think?
I actually absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. I am on one of those sides where, yes, being the comic book fan I am, I wanted to see translations of the what-ifs I've read, but what I got was so much better. I mean, there's only been maybe one episode I wasn't like a fan of, but the rest of it all just tied together, and I liked that it tied together.
Yeah.
And I think MCU, whether they're meaning to do it or not, they're giving, after Endgame, one of my biggest bitches was how they treated Black Widow. And how is she, and now the Black Widow filmed kind of corrected that, showed her this connection and this family unit that she was missing. And then you understand why she was the way she was at the end of, you know, at the end of Endgame, because she had this connection to these other people. Mm-hmm. Now you're seeing another side of her as well, you know, in this, that really she became this important character. And I think the best line ever was when her at the very, I think it was like the last 5 minutes, like when it's when her and Watu are just arguing back and forth with each other, and he makes that comment, no, you are so important to me. You know, there's this moment where you feel it. You know, Jeffrey Wright does an amazing job. You just feel it in your chest when he's like, no, you are very important, and that tells you what every life means to him, and how important she is to him. And she, you know, she came out of the zombie universe, and so she sent her someplace different, but that needed her and gave her that family unit back. And I was like, perfect. That's it. And they, again, like I said, I just think they're treating her right again.
That was the perfect send off. I don't think we'll see Black Widow again, but if we do, I mean, great. But if this is the ending of it, great way to go. And by the way, I gotta say, to jump on your point about Jeffrey Wright, I thought Jeffrey Wright through the first like four or five episodes, he basically was the watcher character that I'm used to. I'm just sitting there being beloved, and you know, yeah, I'm just watching. That's all I do. I just watch. And then Ultron basically called him out, and that dude, that's all you freaking do is just watch. You never interfere. It's funny though, like we talk about these characters growing through each episode. The Watcher as a character kind of grew as well. He was no longer that one who was not going to interfere. He did interfere because he knew, he's like, hey man, you know, I can't sit by and do nothing. Now I actually got to do something because this guy's pushing me. That's how he had to go out and seek the team. And then you see him like towards that end, that great moment with evil Doctor Strange. He's like, hey, man, you know, somebody's got to keep an eye on him. He's like, yeah, I'll do it. I got nothing else to do. And then he says, thank you, Steven. I was like,
see, that's all, I don't take that Doctor Strange. I did after the episode. I thought he was an evil Doctor Strange, but when he got reintroduced, he wasn't evil. He was just hurt and scarred and just, yeah, I don't think he was evil at that point. I think he was just hurting.
Well, that's the name I'm calling him, is yeah. Evil Doctor Strange. So, I mean, was he evil? No, he wasn't evil towards the end. He was very powerful, I'll tell you that.
But there was a lot of talk about what the Watcher was going to end up doing, because yeah, in the comic books, he breaks his oath a lot. I mean, a lot. He breaks his oath. So
spoilers. He breaks it a lot.
Yeah, so that's why I'm like, okay, this is building up to him breaking his oath. And and then they're going to do a second season, which hopefully at that point we'll see maybe some better other translations. I know some of the ones that like in the fan groups I'm in, some of the chat rooms, everybody's like, oh, I need to see Hulk and Wolverine. I'm like, hey, but those characters aren't all there yet. It's like, you're talking about ones that aren't there yet. Let's wait to let those be introduced live action, and then we can play around with in that world.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. Just play with the toys you have right now. Don't play with the new ones just yet. Let the new ones and the old ones get together, yeah. And they can love each other. So just let's relax on that. But
what'd you think about the picture releasing for Transformers Rise of the Beast?
I love it.
You like it?
I love it. It's the G1. Like, the Optimus Prime is finally, it took him 6 films, Mike, but he's finally the G1 Optimus Prime semi-truck. He's not the long spout truck or whatever they call it.
The Peterbilt one.
The Peterbilt one, which I never liked that design. I was like, eh. No, he's always been like, I don't know what they call those trailers, but to me it looks like the BJ and the Bear trailer from the 70s. You have to know that's a TV show. Literally, BJ and the Bear, the guy with a monkey. But we're throwing all these 70s.
It's Guy and his monkey.
Guy and his monkey. But he had that old school design, and oh, they all did. Even Bumblebee. I mean, he didn't have like the bug form, but he had like his old Trans Am that he was at, and yellow, and a couple other cars. I think that was Jazz I saw there as well. They didn't show any of the beasts yet, which I'm glad. You know, I guess they're gonna keep that on hold for a while. Plus, they're still filming. But I dig it. I dig it. I love Bumblebee. I think this is. Did they say this is a sequel to Bumblebee, or just like the beginning?
At this, I think they're treating Bumblebee as kind of like a refresh, and then this is like the full blown refresh of it. It's not supposed to be a complete like direct from Beast Wars. It's primarily influenced by Beast Wars storyline, but not exactly taken directly from them.
Okay,
but you're going to have like the Maximals, the Predacons, and the Terracons, and I guess the vehicles that we saw were the Maximals in the picture, because just below that you had the Maximal leader, which is Optimus Primal, which I think was the black one. Those were Terracons. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I'm reading the wrong one.
Well, I didn't see that one. I don't think they showed Optimus Primal yet, have they?
No. That's what I was saying. The Terracons. It's that you're going to see down there. You're seeing you're seeing Scourge, which is the black semi. You're seeing Nightbird, which was the Nissan Skyline, and then you're seeing saying that there's an orange tow truck, and basically I'm calling them Mater. I think Mater's a Decepticon. I'm sorry.
No, dude. No. To hear Larry the Cable Guy's voice is like, I ain't right here,
There's a theory out there. Think about it. This is a Cars world. Mater lived in a cemetery.
Jesus.
So why wouldn't Mater be a Decepticon?
Why'd you go so dark? I took my daughter to see those movies. Now you just made
me making you upset.
Now you just turned Mater to like this freaking evil guy now. Like,
So by the way, that's not Jess. That is Mirage, by the way. So you're going to you're having Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, Mirage, RC, obviously the motorcycle, and then Wheeljack.
Have we had Mirage in any live action films?
I don't believe we've had Mirage. No, we've had Jazz. That's why I think everybody's like, oh, it's Jazz, because it's the Porsche, which I think a lot of folks are going to get mad at. Well, that's not Mirage. Was a Formula One racer.
Yeah, yeah.
And so yeah, that's where they're going with that. So yeah, look, I'm happy. I have seen, I think about 6 months ago, a sneak, somebody sticking their head out a window watching the actual Prime truck roll by down an alley while they were filming was captured. And I'd seen that. So when I saw that, I wasn't too overly surprised.
I wonder what kind of storyline they're going to do besides introducing the beasts. I'm curious because I just started watching the Netflix. No, I didn't just started watching. I just watched the second part of it right now. Beginning because I've been slacking. Ain't gonna lie. I've been watching Bad Batch and all that shit. Yeah. Thanks. But anyway, so I started watching it. I'm like, and I thought in my head, because the ending of this season leads up to, you know, no spoilers, but, you know, there are some beasts involved or a hint.
Oh, God. Yeah. The third season of Beast Wars is great.
I'm just wondering, like, how they're going to tie these worlds together. That's always been my biggest thing, because it's no secret. I am not a fan of Beast Wars. I thought it was garbage. I thought, like, the 3D animatrix, it took me out of it. I never got into it. Never did. So that's why I'm curious, as a guy who didn't like it, how are you going to make me like it? How are you going to draw me in? I mean, yes, you have the OGs in there. I'm going to go because of them.
That's kind of how.
So
they're adding little. I guess I'm going to throw out another old school reference. They're adding a little bit of sugar for the medicine to go down for you. Yeah, they're sweetening it up with Prime and Bumblebee and Mirage, introducing you to these other characters. And yes, I'm on the same page with you when it came to like the animated cell. Was not a fan of the animated cell, but if you could get past that and watch the storyline that they did, great storyline. And I think once you watch the third season of the Transformers, you'll understand that connection that they have back and forth. And I think that's kind of the route they're going to go. The only premise that we have is it's movie takes place in 1994. A pair of archaeologists is from Brooklyn come into an ancient conflict that ties these three factions of Transformers, Maximals, Predacons, and Terracons. That's really all it says.
Interesting. Can't wait.
Yeah. Me either. What about what you think about – and this one kind of hit a little weird on the internet this week. I was kind of surprised. I thought this one was going to be like widely accepted. WandaVision spinoff starring Catherine Hahn. Or in the works, and what do you think about that?
Shock. That was my first. I was like, really? I mean, I heard something that Catherine Hahn was going to be back somewhere down the line. I thought maybe she would show up in Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. I thought that's the place for her, but now she's going to get her own spinoff series, and I mean, I guess you could introduce more of the mystical characters in that show, like with Lester Knows, like someone weird, like Mephisto.
Yeah, maybe, finally.
Mephisto will finally make his MCU appearance. It's odd, but if you read that she was actually on a Zoom interview, I'm not sure who it was. I was watching it, and she signed an exclusive deal with the MCU. She's going to have her own series, and she's going to be in a couple films as well. So that's where it got me like, So she's going to be showing up everywhere now.
Well, I mean, what better way to literally be able to drop her into the MCU in a movie by doing a television series about how she got out of broke Wanda's curse, started relearning who she was, got back into the magic, and then at the very end, bloop, there's Doctor Strange. Hey, we're this multiverse of madness is going, and we need, or somebody drags her in instead of just us watching the movies, and all of a sudden she's there, and guess what? We're all going to go, what the hell she been doing? How'd she get there? The show's going to answer that to lead up to, bam, there she is.
I think you're right.
And what better way to introduce, like you were saying, maybe not Mephisto, you know? I think Kevin Feige's like, okay, fuck that. He scratched Mephisto off of his list for everything because he's probably teasing everybody.
He's tired. Yeah, he's like, come on, man. It's got to be a payoff eventually. I mean, maybe not in this Agatha Harkness series, but eventually he's going to have to rear his horny head somewhere.
Why? You know what I mean? Why? Just because all the fans assumed that's where he was going? Write the stories you want. Tell the story you want. Just because everybody's getting all like, you know, frothing at the mouth for something that, well, just doesn't fit into their world.
You know what's going to happen, I think, now? Now that I think about it, I think they will actually have him show up in a poster. It'll be like a walk-by Agatha Hart. And that walk, man. It'll just say Mephisto should look at it like, oh, interesting, just walk by.
Yeah.
That'll be it.
come see Mephisto in his new show. Shut the fuck up.
Shut the fuck up, it's basically Mephisto's a magician. He's like an outwork magician. He's like struggling to hang. He's like, there, come see me, Mephisto live. He's just like a lounge magician. That'd be hysterical. Yeah, but more and more I think about it, I don't think he's going to show up. At least not now. But
no, I mean, I think you're going to have the chance later on because you still have the opportunity of the other magical and mystical creatures, you know, from the MCU. And you know, if they ever decide to finally break down and do a Ghost Rider, you know, they're what better way to blend those two together?
I wonder if they would redo Ghost Rider or like pick him up from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. That was the one season I did watch, and it was actually pretty decent.
Yeah, they might. I mean, but again, that's the one. That's the one area that Kevin never had his hands in. You know, he never touched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. It was always Avi and God, who else was it? Somebody else was involved in that. But yeah, that had nothing to do. The only thing that I think Kevin had a pinky in might have been like the agents or Agent Carter. But the rest was just – that was just ran by Marvel TV, you know, and he didn't have a say or whatever. That's why it was so wonky and out of whack with everything else.
Yeah. I mean, I remember the arc they had with the Ghost Rider. I thought it was pretty cool when actually he made his intro. They showed a Nicolas Cage-esque type Ghost Rider coming by. I mean, it looked like – I mean, I don't know if that was it that they were hinting at, but it looked like him. And basically, he touched the other guy for him to become the Ghost Rider, and you know, and there's your new Ghost Rider. So
nice.
I like that. That was the only season I dug. Everything else after that was kind of like they went in time, they came back. Coulson's dead, then he's not dead, then he's a twin. It was just
beating the crap out of Coulson like they always did.
Oh, dude, poor Coulson loses an arm. Then he gets the arm
back.
That's
why I stopped watching. I was like, I can't watch that. I can't watch him beat this poor guy up.
Kill him. Then he's dead. But he's not dead. He's a clone. But then he's like not really a clone. He's really like, I'm not.
So I saw that they released a trailer for that sort of ties into something you're getting ready to release here in a month or so.
Yes. In a month, it's going to happen, guaranteed. Yes.
Watch go talk about that.
Yeah, we talked. Yeah, me and my girl talked about it. So
I meant to talk about the trailer that dropped.
Oh, you mean House of Dragons?
Yes,
I loved it. Looked pretty good. I dig it. I mean, I've been a big fan of Game of Thrones since it came out this season. So, for me at least,
right. It's been a big fan this whole year, guys.
This whole year. So I've been a great fan this whole year. I dug it, man. Like it was like it's not a long trailer. I think it was like 2 minutes. It shows like the Targaryen family. Like, this is taking place 200 years before the events of Game of Thrones, like it says on the little titles. And it shows like this couple quick shots of like we're seeing the new cast and all that, dragon riders, Targaryens, and we get a quick shot of the throne, the Iron Throne, which it looked very vastly different. I mean, it is 200 years before, so there's probably not the wear and tear on it, but it looked like it was
well, less swords also. You gotta remember,
swords on it. So, my question is, do you think like I don't know the lore, the books like you do, so I'm not sure were there dragons around during this era?
Yes, because if you remember the stories that they told in like in the first season, where they talked about the dragons and how you know that there were more, and they found that there was that one dragon skull. Underneath, was that in King's Landing or was that?
No, that was King's Landing. Was that Balrog the Dread?
Yeah, I think yeah. So they talked so that there were, and they just sort of like kind of dwindled down, and there were less and less dragons. Mm-hmm. But okay. And the two, I think they said, I think it was around this time that this is taking place that the dragons sort of started going down.
Oh, okay. So there's only going to be maybe a couple then.
We'll still see dragons. I think there's going to be more dragons. I think this is going to be heavier in the dragons than I was getting ready to say it's going to be heavier in like the mystical kind of fantasy that we're used to, but it's not because that's not what the Game of Thrones world is. There's not a lot of, you know, very almost no magic at all, other than, you know, the fact of, you know, that there are dragons.
I think you'll see a lot of the obviously to Targaryens, you'll see that. Not sure if you, I don't know if the Lannisters. Where their family was at during this point, I'm not sure.
They were always there. Yeah, they were always they're always going to be in King's Landing. So you're going to see like descendants, and you're going to see a lot of familiar names, like surnames. But you're not going to see them. You're probably going to see, you know, more the building of the wall a little bit higher. You know, you're going to see more stuff like that. I don't think we're going to see the White Walkers.
No, I don't think you'll see any. I think you might see a hint. Maybe you see like a blue eye. Somewhere.
But I think what this is going to be more about the political stuff that, you know, that involved, you know, that was involved in the show. There's really like, I think he only did like one prequel book and it wasn't that well received. So I don't know if they're digging into that or if they're just creating their own show.
So do you think this, like on speaking to you on that point, do you think this is a one and done or are they going to keep going? You think
depending on how it goes, I think depending on how it's received again, you have to realize you're on the Game of Thrones high. That's an old high, and there's a lot of bitterness still about that, to the point where I was online watching some people talk about it, and they're like, I didn't even realize a trailer was out. That's how little people are aware of it. And I think that's because a lot of folks have a little bad taste of their mouth still about what happened. Not just the show, but also with George R.R. Martin, because, you know, he's still leaving them hanging for the last book or for the next book. And we don't even know if it's the last book. It should be, because it's taken him over a decade to release, you know, the next book.
So bitterness from the fan base.
But if anybody is interested in, you know, fantasy and more, with more like a magic base, you do have World of the Wheel of Time coming out. That's going to be dropping here in November. And if there's anybody out there that's interested in getting into it, read the first three books. From my understanding, because it's a 14 book series, my understanding is season one is a total enclosure of book one, two, and a little bit of three. So just if anybody's interested to like be up on what's going on. Because some of what I saw in the trailer, I'm like, wait a second, that's book two. That battle happened in book three. Hold on, wait a second. Shit. So.
Yeah, that's, the trailer's pretty dope. I can't wait to see that. It's going to come out on Hulu, right? Is that what you said?
No, that's Amazon.
Amazon Prime, okay. Yep.
And another Amazon show just dropped a trailer this week as well. If nobody has watched it, and again, do yourself a favor, guys. It's so good. And probably some of the best sci-fi that's out there right now. But the new Expanse season six trailer just dropped last week. And thank you, Richard, one of our folks on our Facebook page. He posted it before I could get to it. I didn't realize the trailer was out. But that's coming out December 10th. They always usually do theirs in December. So I'm looking forward to that. It's a great, great sci-fi show.
Yep, I got to finish Stone season one. So
you got a long way to go.
A long way to go, so I'll be there eventually. But I did see the trailer; it looked pretty good. So, like I said, I don't know what's going on, but let me finish season one through five, and I'll get there. So
I got a question for you. It's October, man. This is our month, as far as like, you know, watching movies and stuff. Like we were talking earlier about the midnight movies. What is your favorite horror villain? Top horror villain. Are you an old school classic? Are you new?
I think I've always
80s.
Man, I've never been too keen on the slashers. I thought they were kind of stupid because they're just like mindless. I always dug Dracula, but for some reason, I always dug Pinhead because Pinhead was always like this very. I mean, he was a killer and he was grotesque, but he was always very theatrical. That's what I liked about him. The way he presented himself when he spoke like this and like talked about the flesh. I always dug him.
Very, very proper inflections very in his voice.
Nasty voice. He looked like a, you know, he's like a lead singer of a freaking Swedish death metal band that he comes out like, yes, we will sing about fire and death today. He looks dope, but I guess Pinhead, if you had to put a gun in my head right now.
All right, then I guess I'm going to have to ask you, what are you thinking about the new Pinhead as of coming for Spy Class and Hulu? They're set to do some movies, and they're casting a Jamie Clayton female as Pinhead. What do you think?
Again, I got to see her in action. I can't judge it. I could be like, oh man, that they chose a chick. Boo. I mean, that could be my first instinct because, you know, Pinhead, I mean, but then they'll say, well, Pinhead was never really classified as a male or female, which is true. I understand that. But then again, one of the Cenobites looked very female-like if you watch those old Hellraiser.
Yeah, there was, yeah.
So I'm just saying, like, you know, I'm not sure if this is Pin Woman. Do you want to be proper? Pin Person? So if is it still Pinhead? I don't know, but I guess it is Pinhead. So,
yeah,
but,
well, again, yeah, the description is, and the title is that she will be Pinhead. And I, like you were saying, you got to wait to see because, again, Pinhead's all about the look. Like, it's how does he look or she will look in the movies and, you know, and see how she – and also, like you said, her inflections in her voice and how she talks and to you know, how she dictates. That's going to be important, too, to put over something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It kind of falls under the same, you know, discussion that, you know, folks have been having for the last couple of years with James Bond. You know, this is the last James Bond movie with Daniel Craig. And, you know, there's talks of, you know, moving forward, you know, and of course, you know, there's been the word from the director, word from Daniel Craig, and, you know, and they, what they have said, and they have followed it up because, of course, you know, the media loves to grab just one thing they say and just slap that on the title of, you know, headline of their article is Daniel Craig says, no, you know, no female should be a James Bond. He follows it up and he, if you read the article a little bit further, and so does the director, they follow it up that they need to not use this character that basically, and this is coming from a few other folks I've seen, they need to take and create their own characters. I think the concept of doing a 007 agent, not a James Bond, but a, you know, I think this, I didn't get a chance to go see the movie today, but I think one of the actresses that's in here, she is a 007 agent. Continue on with her character. You know, I think that would be amazing to do.
That'd be interesting.
Because,
why not? Again,
yeah, it's because it's always been 007 blah, you know, the name of the show, name of the movie. Continue on.
You could keep going with a girl or somebody else. Why not? I mean, it's 00 is just a moniker. It's just a title. Well, it is. It was never – I mean, some people will hate it, but, you know, I got to be open to some new suggestions. So.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's just I love watching the media just go, well, they're saying no female. No, what they're saying is no female to play James Bond, but not 007. And no, that was not a planned segue, guys, by the way, guys, for him to say Pinhead.
I literally know where this is going.
I think probably my favorite one, honestly, I grew up on the slashers, and I've always been a fan of Freddy. Because Freddy isn't just a slasher. Freddy likes to manipulate you and mess with your head. Joe, Jason, and Michael, they track you down. They're your slasher stalker kind of ones, you know.
Yeah, they're out for blood.
Yeah, and I mean, if you want your mind fuck kind of characters, not Pinhead, Jigsaw.
Jigsaw's one. No, yeah.
Jigsaw's a great one. But yeah, for me, it's always been Freddy, and just his the character of Freddy is just snarky as well.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Now, what about your favorite series, like trilogy or series of horror movies? You know, you have the Halloween series, the Friday the 13th, the Conjurings, the Screams. You know, which ones are your favorites?
The Halloween ones are my favorite. I didn't like the Jason ones. I like the Halloween ones because they got the first two obviously are classics. The third one we won't talk about. Fourth and fifth one kind of continued with the Michael Myers stuff, and then they went to H2O and all that stuff. They kept that thread, and I dug those movies, even the silly ones where they had like the, I guess it was Michael's niece that was coming back and she had like mystical powers or some weird shit, I don't know. But then they had like the one with Paul Rudd, I think, I forgot which that one was when he was very young, and it introduced like a cult type thing to Michael Myers where he was like he was a being brought from hell, some kind of demon trapped in him, in his body. It was actually pretty cool the way they did it, and they had like an older Daniel Harris, the character who actually died in that film. So I've always dug that, and then, of course, the new ones I dig, and even the Rob Zombie ones to a point. The second one, no. The first one,
I love the first one about the dissecting of Michael, but after that, I was like, what'd you do?
Yeah, and then like the second one was like a ghost and a pony, like, okay.
Yeah. He got a little trippy on us. So what are you excited for the Halloween Kills and everything that's been coming out with that?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm catching a mid-swig, so hold on, that's...
Sorry, I just had to take my Gatorade. Yeah, everything looks good in the trailers. Looks violent, looks evil. Looks like they're bringing back like original storylines from the original Halloween, 1977. Like, so I guess that you could see in some of the trailers, the kids who were there that night when he went on his killing spree, they're now older now. Yeah. And I guess the whole premise is like he's going to go after them now because they survived. And, you know, I think, oh, shit. So a couple 80s people there too I saw, which is kind of cool. What's his name? Oh God, he was in Weird Science. No, not Weird Science. What's his name? He had that TV show in USA Dead Zone.
Yeah, Weird Science as well. Yeah, Anthony Michael Hall.
Anthony Michael Hall's in it. Yeah, an older Anthony Michael Hall. He's one of the kids that plays it. I think he's playing the Paul Rudd character, if I believe. But it looks good. Looks good, and he had the whole family involved. Jamie Lee Curtis is still going after him. It's taking place in a hospital again, which I think is pretty cool too. That's like a little throwback to the second one. So I dig it. Looks good.
I think some of it's in a hospital. I don't think the whole thing is. I think like because she gets picked up and gets taken to the hospital, and then he comes and tracks her down, and they leave the hospital eventually, I'm thinking.
Okay. So maybe it'll have a couple scenes, 20 minutes in the hospital, and go from there. But it looks good. It looks good. I mean, I'm interested to see how he's going to get out of that fire. I guess he's going to murder some firefighters, which is getting some...
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Well, we don't know. Yeah, we talked about that last night. I guess there's some kickback, and some people are getting mad for some editing, and they're editing out something that happened with the firefighters, and I don't know until I see this movie of what happens and what why are they getting upset. Just, you know, oversensitivity about a lot of things lately, so it could be just that. But, yeah, I don't know too much about it.
So I think that's what it's about. But like you said, we'll see what happens when that movie comes out. I think pretty soon, right?
A couple of weeks, actually. Yeah, it's either you can either catch it in the theaters, or if anybody has Peacock, the streaming service, it'll be on there as well. So, you know, they're going that route. So, which I think is cool because, I mean, Peacock's doing a big, you know, I mean, of course, everybody is. But they're doing a big Halloween theme this month for it.
So is Tubi. Tubi's doing huge stuff. Yeah. Check out Tubi. Yeah, they have like. Actually, I'm gonna check that out after we get off air. I'm gonna see some Halloween movies. You know, get my horror and scare on. But yeah, they had like that little trailer that popped up. Like, look at Tubi. We have all these Halloween, like some weird movies I never heard of, like The Butcher and like The Kids Are Lost in the Forest. Like, what is this shit? I never seen these, but like they're low budget B level movies.
Yeah, real.
I gotta see Butcher and give my review.
So we also got announcement about a week ago for Boba. The Book of Boba Fett, we got a release date for that, the actual premiere and streaming date. Great way to start the new year. It's going to start December 29th, so we're going to roll into 2022 with the Book of Boba, and I'm excited about that because, I mean, just next year alone, they're going to drop so many great Star Wars streaming stuff. It's, you know, not even funny.
Oh, man, like Book of Boba, Cassian Andor right?
You got Cassian's already been done. Obi-Wan's already been done. Like, it's pretty much, there's three shows already in the can, and they're just waiting to release them.
Is Mando coming out next year?
No, Mando will be next year, December, like a year from, like, over a year.
Okay, so that's four. And I guess we're not going to get a Bad Batch season two next year. It's going to take a while, probably, so maybe the year after.
No. I mean, you got to realize, I mean, they finished and wrapped up the Clone Wars last year. So, yeah, it might be just, they might do it, like, summertime next year. As far as the Bad Batch, they're pretty good on that about, you know, getting everything moved in it. I mean, Filoni's running the ship like, you know, like Lucas wanted him to. So, you know, he's got his hands in pretty much everything. So we'll see which direction he goes. I think between him and Favreau kind of tag teaming this universe, they can just kind of go their own route and do what they want to do and say, hey, you know what? Okay, we're going to plan everything out. Because, I mean, they literally just have to look at Kevin Feige and go, hey, what's your structure like? And then all they have to do is just plug in what they, you know, what stories they want. And then Filoni can go concentrate on one thing, and then, you know, Favreau can go concentrate on the other. But they're still following the playbook that they've set out. If that's the, you know, that's the way they did it, which you're literally working for the same company as Feige is. So might as well take advantage of that. And I'm sure they he's willing to talk to them.
I'm sure the door is open for Feige to walk in. So. But yeah, what about the Ahsoka one? Is that going to come out? No,
I think they're probably getting ready to. It's probably in the middle of pre-production right now for that. But yeah, that is still in the works.
And, Ahsoka.
Yeah, that one I can't wait because that's going to be the continuation of Rebels. You know, it's funny. I was watching these two guys on TikTok, and they're like rewatching. Are watching, they're videotaping their reactions to the things they've never seen, and they're watching The Mandalorian, and they're at that scene where Ahsoka says, you know, where's your leader, where's Grand Admiral Thrawn, and they're like, oh my god, oh, I was like, did you guys not see that coming, like a mile away? I mean, that's where we left Ahsoka, you know.
She was looking for Thrawn, so we're gonna
she was off with not Bo-Katan, but Ren.
With Ren. Yeah.
I mean, that's where the last place we saw him. So who else would she be still looking for? That was not a shocker.
And the space whales. That's what he's looking for. So.
Hey, you got to love your space whales, man.
I love those space whales, man. Just saying.
They're right next there to Lobo's space dolphins.
Yeah.
I was at a comic book shop here locally, a place called The Collective, and I did not realize... Apparently, it's like on the fourth or fifth book. There's a Lobo and this other character doing a comic book run together. Crispin Lobo is some chick in him. And I was like, I need to find this to start picking this up. Because, I mean, I love Lobo. Anything Lobo, I'm all about. But him and like a female version of like the bounty hunter. And this isn't the Prince Lobo that we saw like a few years back. This is the actual real
Lobo,
with the cod piece going on and everything.
There we go. This motorcycle.
Still, my favorite cover of all times in comic books is basically it's an image of from like Lobo's crotch, and it's like aimed right at his codpiece, and it's looking up at him, and he's like, right there. It's like, it's one of my favorite book covers. I got to pull that out of my storage and frame that motherfucker.
Now I'll have to look that one up tonight. Hmm.
So, anything else you got? I know there was a release of, or announcement of a release of a new McFarlane.
Yeah, the Build-A-Figures, man, they're releasing another wave, which I haven't even finished collecting another wave, the wave that's out now, but they're releasing one. I think it's coming out next year. It's announced at New York Comic Con, The Dark Knight Returns, which I'm going to collect them all. They got the Joker, they got the Carrie Kelly, Robin, they got the Batman, which looks dope. I think they have, I forgot the other figure. I think it's probably just those four, if I'm mistaken. But the Build-A-Figure, I don't like. Why would you want to build the horse? Out of all the things can you have like a Build-A-Figure where it came like when you build like the tank or something? I mean, I would even get like those little dolls that the Joker had that they threw that mist and killed everybody. I would have gone for them. But the horse, man, I agree with McFarlane on a lot of things, but that Build-A-Figure just to build the damn horse is dumb.
I'm kind of interested to see because I'm looking at like the Batman, and I'm not a fan of the Batman. I actually have one of the old DC versions of the Dark Knight, and the one I have looks almost identical to the comic book where he's more bulky. This one he doesn't look that bulky.
Well, it's a bad picture too.
You know, I don't know. I'm not a fan. Even the Superman doesn't look all that great. Like I said, though, I'll have to show you the ones I have where it's the original, you know, the comic book one, and it's Batman, and he's in this. That's why he looks a little bit bulkier. That's what they should have made, the armor. They should have done the Batman in the armor. That would have made more sense.
They released it already.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, it was by itself. Actually, I have it.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if they did that one.
Yeah, they got that one already.
But yeah, I don't know. The other one's just, yeah, like the Carrie Kelly looks okay. But yeah, I'm not.
It's just not one of my favorite waves. It's just like, okay, I mean, I may or may not get it. Because actually they did that wave already, like back in DC Multiverse before McFarlane got there. And they were 6-inch figures.
Those are the ones I have. So,
and they were actually a little bit better.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Looking at that, I don't like that one that they're releasing.
And these ones are actually, you know, an inch taller. And they just look, eh.
Yeah.
And the whole horse thing, it just bugs me. I don't fucking care about the horse. I love horses. I love animals, but no, that just no thanks. I'm good. Build something else.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, if you guys want a good laugh, you know, always hop on our Facebook page because you can see when Kane posts some stuff. I take some shots.
More than a few. more than a couple. That's all.
All right, guys. Well, that is it for the show. I don't have anything else, man. Do you?
The only thing I got one more, actually just two more things. I'll say them really quick. I saw Timothy Chalamet, his first look as Willy Wonka looked pretty cool.
Oh yeah, I posted that today. Yeah,
that was today. So he actually just a little image and just looks very Gene Wilder esque, which I like.
Well, it's a prequel to Willy Wonka. It's not. Yeah, they're not redoing Willy Wonka. They're doing like a prequel, which. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, and the trailer to Raccoon City, Welcome to Raccoon City, which is a reboot of the Resident Evil franchise. I see there were two trailers out, the American version, the international version. The international version is obviously a little bit better, more stuff in it. I'll say this. It's if you're a fan of the games, looks like you're going to love it. Looks like you're going to love it. Basically, that trailer basically is the first and second game. If you've played the games, like the original ones on the PC or like the PlayStation, that's basically what it is. Like they walk in the mansion, you see where like the disease came from. It's literally, you see the characters that you've been dying to see that you didn't see in those Resident Evil movies until much later on. And they're basically backup characters and nobody cared about them. So, but it looks good. So look forward to that Raccoon City. And I think it's coming out. I think it's coming out in November.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, our friend Cindy and I, we sat down because we always go to the movies together. And we're like sitting down trying to figure out the schedule. And I'm like, literally like two movies a month for the next like 4 months, the way the schedule is set up. Like, you know.
That's insane.
But again, we gotta remember, I mean, we just spent like a year and a half with nothing coming out, you know. So this really, if you think 2 years ago, that was the schedule. Two movies a month, you know, and that's where we're back at it. It doesn't look like, you know, the crowds aren't as big as they, you know, have been yet, but, you know, it's still
it's still a slow process. Like the when I went to go see Venom, there wasn't a lot of people in there, but there was it was a good crowd.
There was more people in the theater when I went to go see the Transformers 86 reissue from a Fathom than there was in the theater for Venom.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I was surprised. I was like, hey, it's kind of light. What's going on here?
Crazy.
And I was kind of interested. I was really looking forward to going to the movies today. We had to cancel it. But I was kind of interested to see what the James Bond crowd was going to look like. So, but I think we're going to try to hit that this maybe sometime this week.
Well, let me know. But those are the last two little tidbits that I had for you kids. And so check it out.
All right. Awesome, guys. Make sure you do check out the Heroes of Silent Midnight movies. We are doing Dracula 2000, the Gerard Butler one with the Plumber. Jeffrey, no.
Christopher Plumber.
Christopher Plumber. I keep wanting to say Jeffrey Plumber for some fucking reason. And so make sure you guys do check us out. That we're going to have a guest appearance on that, which is we had fun on there. And make sure you guys do check that out. And again, guys, I just want to reiterate, thank you, everybody, for the downloads, listens, subscriptions. Jump over to our Facebook page as well, and that way you guys can take a look at it and see what more we offer. We got a great fan base out there in the Facebook community.
Yes, we do. Check us out on our social media pages at Twitter, @Heroes_Podcast, Instagram at @TheHeroesAsylum. A little news note, Lobos and Chair Shots is going on hiatus for a little while, but we will be back. All right, just a little while. I got to reformat some stuff, but we'll be back soon. Check out the Facebook page there. And as always, from Mike, me to you, get to the Asylum. We'll see you soon.